Hello and welcome to our University of Strathclyde podcast series, run out of the world-famous School of Education, right in the heart of the beautiful city of Glasgow in Scotland. We bring you a mix of meeting academic interviews, thought pieces, conversations and provocations on all things education, to give you a glimpse into our world-leading education research here at Strathclyde, and of course to stimulate your questions and thinking around the meaning, purpose and practice of education. In schools, in communities, and of course in all our lives.
Welcome to the University of Strathclyde School of Education podcast. This academic year we're celebrating our 10th anniversary of the School of Education, having formerly been the university's Faculty of Education. In fact, we can trace our roots back to the work of David Stowe in the 19th century in Glasgow. So today we're welcoming Emeritus Professor Donald Christie, who was our first head of school when the school was founded in 2010. Donald, welcome.
Hello, yes, I'm pleased to have this opportunity to chat about a wee bit about the history of the school on this propitious year.
Okay, so maybe it would help our listeners if you could say a wee bit about how you came to work at the University of Strathclyde, and then we'll talk a bit more about your role as head of school.
I started work in what was the Jordan Hill College of Education, which was the kind of precursor to the former Faculty of Education at the University of Strathclyde. I came as a qualified primary teacher, but also as a psychologist who had been involved in research in the university sector prior to becoming a teacher. And in the 80s, when I arrived at Jordan Hill, they were looking for people to help with the development of the new degree for primary teachers, which was being set up at that time. And they wanted someone to teach psychology that had a primary teaching background. And there weren't too many of us around at that time. So that's when I joined the former Department of Psychology in the College of Education. And then some years later, we merged with the University of Strathclyde in 1993 and became a Faculty of Education of the university. We were the first of all of the former colleges moving into the university sector. Our merger with Strathclyde was a very positive step as far as I was concerned at the time. You know, I stayed for about 30 years working in one way or another associated with the work of education at Strathclyde.
Okay, so you've just admitted you've been around for a bit, and you were our first head of school, as I say, when we were established in 2010 as a school of education. What was it that particularly interested you or prompted you to become head of school?
Well, as I mentioned, we'd already become part of the university. And, you know, that was a positive step as far as I was concerned, integrating the study of education into a university context. What was happening during those years, the 90s and into the first decade of the 21st century, was that there was a lot of change taking place in the university sector, a lot of changes in relation to teacher education. And with all this restructuring going on, there was a lot of change that was affecting the former staff complement of the what had been the College of Education prior to 1993. And during those years, when we were very proudly championing the notion that teacher education in Scotland was a university subject, unlike the situation elsewhere in the United Kingdom, we were very keen to maintain the profile of teacher education and the discipline of education within the university. There was a move to restructure, bringing together the Faculty of Education that we had become, together with the Faculty of Law, Arts and Social Sciences, to form a new Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences, within which the proposal was to examine all possibilities for structuring the different disciplines. And for me, the opportunity to become head of the School of Education was a very important one, because at that time, with all the changes that had taken place, there weren't too many of us left that were, you know, experienced in the field and who were in a position to try to lead this new development of further integration into the university. So I saw this as a wonderful kind of opportunity to establish new connections and to reinforce the importance of education as a university discipline.
So with all that change going on then, and it seems to have been a history of great change from the College of Education into the Faculty of Education and then the School of Education, and with you facilitating some of that change, what was the biggest challenge that you faced really in first becoming head of school?
I think the biggest challenge was to, I suppose, to try to ensure that colleagues in the rest of the what was now a new Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences, and colleagues in the rest of the university, that education merited being considered as a university subject. You know, we're so well established now that the idea that that perhaps a university involved in teacher education could do without a school of education was really, you know, something that we had to address as an issue, because there were some doubts about that initially. And I think probably the biggest practical challenge we faced was not at the actual time of the merger in 2010 and the establishment of the School of Education, but it came 2 years later when we physically made the move in 2012 from the Jordan Hill campus to the City Centre campus to become part of the one single university entity. And that was a major challenge, because it was a huge change to everybody's working life that was involved in the former Faculty of Education.
I suppose it also brought together people that hadn't previously been co-located or hadn't previously worked together. So that in itself would be quite an interesting dynamic.
This is true. There were several new departments were formed within the new faculty, where colleagues from the former Faculty of Education were integrated into the new faculty in different ways. And it was an important time. And for me, given that the previous 10 years or so had been spent engaged in major initiatives that were, I suppose I would say there were two main features of these initiatives. One was that they were collaborative in nature. We had the notion of all of the universities in Scotland that were involved in education working together on a major research initiative that was instigated by the Scottish Government and the Scottish Funding Council, which was given the title the Applied Education Research scheme, and it was absolutely fundamental to the existence of our School of Education that we had been involved in that kind of initiative. And there was, and the other feature, so collaboration was a hallmark, and we were very open to the possibilities of collaboration across the faculty and across the university. But also in the title of that scheme, the word applied was very important, because what we were trying to do in the new School of Education was to demonstrate the applied nature of education as a discipline. And what that meant in practice was that we were determined from the outset, and it was declared in our kind of mission statement from the beginning, that the School of Education at Strathclyde would be concerned with making a difference. Making a difference in the world of children, young people and adults, making a difference in the profession of teaching, and making a difference in society through education. And we wanted everything that we did, all of our teaching efforts, all of our research efforts, and increasingly important during those years was the establishment of the importance of what we called knowledge exchange, the engagement of the school with the educational community out there, the schools, the communities, the different contexts in which learning took place. And that was really important for us from the outset. And we wanted to establish our identity as being a school of education that made a difference in the world.
And I think it's very clear listening to you speak how motivated you are by that. And we're all aware of the drudge that is our inbox, or the endless meetings that currently we're having on Zoom, but under regular circumstances, face-to-face. So we know that as head of school, you'd have had loads and loads of emails and loads of meetings. So it's hard to find that chink of enjoyment, perhaps, in the job at times. But what did you enjoy most as head of school?
Well, I suppose what I enjoyed most as head of school was seeing the enthusiasm of colleagues coming together around that notion of making a difference. An example, an early example during the life of the school was that there were many external challenges at that time, including a wholesale review of teacher education, which was carried out in 2010, coinciding with the inception of the School of Education. And what that called for was a complete overhaul of our programs of teacher education, particularly the undergraduate program. And at that time, I think the mission to make a difference was really taken on board very seriously by the team who took forward that development, creating the new undergraduate program. And it was a radical sector leading initiative. And having been involved in many of the discussions around the review of teacher education at the time, I was very proud to see the way in which colleagues in the School of Education, and I won't name them because they would be embarrassed, and they're very modest individuals, but the way in which they embraced that opportunity, which actually turned out to lead the wholesale review that was taking place of undergraduate programs across the new faculty. The initiative and the drive was coming from education. And there were many, many innovative features of that degree program in its early years, including something I'm particularly proud of, which was the community placement that was instigated for the first year, which just embodied the notion that what we were about was making a difference, because every student going through that first year program, including students from across the faculty doing different degree programs, law, history, or whatever, joining together and being involved in a placement in the community where the mission there, the purpose there, was to make a difference in children's lives by a voluntary activity over a period, an extended period. It was a 35-hour placement, a very major commitment required of all of our students. And the work that they did, the kinds of things that they were involved in, were absolutely incredible and really, really powerful examples of the benefits of practical engagement in the field. So things like that were being created, and that was a really positive indication of what was happening in the school at the time.
So that's nice. I asked you, what did you enjoy most about your job? And I suppose you talked about other people, really. So let's focus on you a wee bit. What was your biggest success, do you think, as the head of school, as our first head of school?
Well, I'd like to think that my biggest success was having the way in which the school coalesced around that notion, whereby the research, the teaching, and the knowledge exchange were connected as much as possible. That we were, in order to make a difference, we needed to ensure that what we did was grounded and engaged with the field. And I think what I suppose, if you say, if we're talking about the success that I look back on, it was the extent to which Strathclyde developed programs in partnership effectively with local authorities and other universities, and in ways that had an impact that was measurable in a whole range of different ways. And I think impact has become such an important feature of the landscape of universities. But I think what education and our School of Education at Strathclyde can demonstrate through attempting to make a difference is that impact is not just a rhetorical term. It's something that we can point to and say, yes, this is what we're about. We make a difference.
So you've touched on the idea that you've been involved in a lot of change across teacher education generally, and you've been involved in a lot of initiatives around teacher education over the years. What would you say, looking forwards, are your biggest concerns or your biggest hopes for teacher education, including initial teacher education in Scotland?
Well, I look at the current political situation, and I see major threats that are concerning me, but they're also they also represent opportunities. Let me explain what I mean by that. Over the period of the last 20 years or so, we have in Scotland created a framework of professional standards right across the professions that are relevant to the School of Humanities and Social Sciences, and in particular to the School of Education. If we go right back to the late 90s, when there were major reviews going on of university education, as I mentioned before, in Scotland, the Quality Assurance Agency deemed that teacher education should be a university subject. And so a standard had to be created for all of the university subjects at the time so that quality assurance could be done against a standard. Now, we saw that, many saw that as a threat at the time, but I personally felt it was an opportunity, an important opportunity to try to influence the process, because looking at what was happening south of the border, the kinds of standards that were emerging were crude behavioral competencies. And what we wanted was to have a values-based aspirational standard for teachers. And I was involved in drafting the first set of those in the late 90s, published in the year 2000. And since then, those have been refined and revisited and revised. But essentially, the structure of these standards has remained the same. And interestingly, the other professions, the other caring professions, including childcare, the Social Services Council, for example, have standards that are comparable and follow the same kind of structural features as the original standards for teacher education. And what I see at the moment is a threat coming from the UK government. If we look at the Internal Markets Bill, which is passing through consideration in Westminster at the moment, what we see there is something that I would describe as a leveling down of standards. The government in Westminster is intent on deregulation. It's notable that, for example, Michael Gove, when he was the first education minister in the Conservative administration in 2010, same year as we were formed, his first act as the education secretary in the UK government, legislating for English education, his first act was to abolish the General Teaching Council for England, the professional body. And what's happening just now is that our hard-won and very carefully constructed framework of standards are potentially going to be undermined by the UK government establishing this common framework, which will level down the standards. The UK government intends to say that the same conditions should apply across the four countries of the UK. Now, that would mean, for example, because in England, in academy schools, you don't even have to have a teaching qualification. That is a diminution of our standards in Scotland. So I see that as a threat. And I think if teacher education is threatened, then the discipline of education is also threatened. But in my view, what we can say is that we can celebrate the high level demands that are placed on the teaching profession in Scotland, and the kinds of standards that are there shaping that and informing that. Values-based, aspirational standards. And we can say that we wish to continue to work towards preparing our students to meet those standards, and that our research efforts should also be directed towards improving the quality of education in line with that framework. And I think those aspirations will carry us forward and enable us to make the case for education being protected, as it were, against such attacks. And in my own personal opinion, the best way to protect us from the Internal Markets Bill is for Scotland itself to become independent. And there, the opportunities for the university within an independent Scotland, I think, would be very positive indeed.
So optimism is a real hallmark of your, or was a real hallmark of your leadership and your role as a professor in education. So it's nice to hear that you're able to put a positive spin on some of the threats that might be facing us, and that level of optimism that could take us forward. So you were our head of school for 4 years. And when you took your retirement, you became an emeritus professor. And you're still involved with the school. So before we wrap up today, maybe you could share with us a wee bit of how you're still involved with the School of Education as a former head of school. What is your role now in relation to the work that we do as an emeritus professor?
Well, I think it's been quite some time since I retired. It seems amazing, actually, if I think that it's fully 6 years since I retired, and it doesn't seem possible. It just seems like yesterday when that happened. But in that time, I have continued to be involved, and I think it's very important to continue to be involved. I suppose, broadly speaking, the role I see for an emeritus professor is to continue to support colleagues in any way that they see as being appropriate. I don't wish to impose on anyone, but if people see some value in involving me in a project, either in an advisory way or in some sort of specific way, I'm very happy to be involved, and I've been involved in one or two initiatives. I've been, for example, from the beginning of my retirement, I was quite closely involved in the partnership developments that we were involved in as a school with colleagues in China, and I continued to have some involvement in that process. But more normally for me, the kind of involvement would be supporting individuals in their bids for research. I supervise some postgraduate students, including staff members who are taking forward doctoral studies. And I enjoy that role because it's something I've always been involved in. And so really, occasional lectures, I am happy to do the occasional lecture and get invited to do those from time to time. But I'm quite choosy. I've got plenty of other things to fill my time, so I'm not kind of craving responsibilities. I'm very happy out riding my bike and tending my garden.
So you quite literally got on your bike when you retired.
I did.
So thanks very much, Donald, for taking the time to speak with me today. It's been really insightful hearing some of the history of the School of Education, and also giving us a sense of how you helped shape where we are today, I suppose. And over the course of this academic session, we'll be talking to the people that followed you as our subsequent heads of school. So it'll be interesting to track that through in our podcasts. So thank you very much, and thank you to people for listening to us again.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening in to our Strathclyde Education podcast series. We'll be back soon with another episode.